Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me a
dream. It's on the internet. Cutest that
I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips like roses. It's a great program. And tell him
that his lonesome nights. Here's the Sandman.
I don't know about you, but I love a good mental challenge. Recently, I took a retirement challenge, and I was quite pleased with my score. What am I talking about? Well, if you've thought about retiring, or even if you're retired, my team and I have prepared a 34-point retirement checklist challenge that will see if you're really ready to retire. And today, I'll be going over some of the items in there that I found surprising. Find out some of the surprising things you need to know right now if you're thinking about retiring. I'm David Hollander, your host, and this is Protect Your Assets Radio. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, yep, you can hear the Sandman jingle. They call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. And that's because I am an attorney and in finance for almost 30 years. So if something is worth doing, then it's worth doing right. And we believe there's a particular time of life. This phrase couldn't be more appropriate. Retirement. So today, if you're thinking of retiring or you're just retired, you're going to want to hear about some of the surprising things you're going to need to think about. My team and I have prepared a list of some important questions that can help you answer that question. Are you ready to retire? Now, let's get started. Markets this week off a little bit. The Dow was off 0.1%, S&P off 0.6%, NASDAQ off 0.5%. 10-year creeping up. It's now at 1.37%. Remember, we're saying that mid-160s, I'd say, by the end of the year on the 10-year. Oil, $71.99. And get this, the S&P 500 has not experienced a 5% or more pullback in over a year. And this is the largest run we've seen since 1966. So, of course, that begs the question, when is Humpty Dumpty going to fall off the hill? looking at that, this week, the big news, which I think could affect stock prices, are tax hikes. The market isn't expecting them, but this Monday, we had some information that was released by the House Ways and Means Committee, and you know who they are. They're the ones who essentially tax us all. And so here's what we know. Right now, it's looking like they're going to increase the top marginal tax rate from 37% to 39.6 for those making over $400,000. Some of the other surprising things that came out of there is they're going to increase the capital gains tax rate from 20% to 25%. Now, you may recall this was lower than what was originally proposed for those making over the $400,000 mark, but it's going to get down there now to that amount of 400,000 versus the 1 million. So we're looking at an increase in capital gains rates. So for those of you who have stocks, maybe a real estate transaction you're going through, this is important. The date that they're talking about on that is going to be effective September 13th of this year. So a lot of people have been asking, is this going to be retroactive? When will this go into effect? According to what we're seeing here, it's looking like effective date will be 9/13/21, unless you can show you're in some sort of a binding contract to sell. So if you're in a position right now where you're selling a piece of property, you're about to make $1 million or more in capital gain, and the contract was signed before September 13th, looks like you're probably going to be in a good position. But if you're not sure, or you're thinking about selling something right now, or maybe you've already sold something and the transaction is still unwinding, well, you better give us a call, because this is the technical stuff that we love to get into, if you know what I mean. The next one is the business profit. So all those S corporations, if you have adjusted gross income above 400,000, then you're looking at an additional 3.8% tax. So all those small business owners, you're going from 37% to 43.4%. That's right. So this is not getting any better. It's just getting more difficult, if you want to put it that way. And that's what's going on in order to pay back all the stimulus. There's some big changes going on with Roth conversions as well. They're complicated. I don't have the time right now to go through it, but there's some changes coming on Roth and retirement plans. So there's quite a lot here in this new tax bill we're looking at. And it looks like, and the estate tax. I've been talking a lot about that. So currently, you know, the estate tax limit is $11.8 million per person. It looks like it's going to be dropping to about $5 million per person. And so it's time now to get off the proverbial duff and start doing some things when it comes to your estate if you're trying to pass more on to your kids. Okay, also we saw from the QE front or across the world here, this is the ECB, the European Community Bank, as well as the Bank of England. These are the first major global central banks in the world to reduce or taper QE. As you know, we haven't started to do that yet. We've been talking about it, but the ECB surprised markets recently by announcing that they're going to reduce QE in Q4, and that was surprising. So President Lagarde, she said that the ECB would start to reduce. She didn't say when or how much exactly, but she did give us a timeline when it was going to happen. And so this shows that the global environment is starting to get a little bit more hawkish. And when you see these ECB taperings come into effect, the question will be how big and how deep. And of course, the market overall didn't particularly like it. But until it's more meaningful, you're not going to really see any sort of a big pullback. And that's what I was talking about with the overall markets not pulling back more than, say, 5%. Now, if this tax bill that I just talked about gets worse, or maybe the market doesn't like it if it actually gets done. I think the market right now is still thinking it's not going to get done. But in any event, if it does, that's going to reduce earnings, period. And so as earnings come down in terms of their profit, that will affect stock prices. And that's what the market is vulnerable to right now. So we'll just have to see what happens with this. But, you know, stay tuned, because like I've been saying, the next, in this case, 2 to 3, 4 weeks, we're going to know quite a bit more about this. And so expect to hear more chatter around taxes. And obviously you should care, because it's going to affect your stock prices, possibly your real estate prices, your things just we need to keep our eyes on. Earnings, right now, numerous companies have started to cut guidance across the industries. And the reason for this is not the demand, it's the supply. The supply chain constraints continue. And so recently we saw PPG, Pulte, they cut guidance because they could not get materials to build their homes. And so if we get continued deterioration in this area instead of improvement, then 2022 S&P earnings are at risk. And this is why it matters. You remember back in 2018, there was a surprise of negative earnings again in PPG, yep, same stock as I just talked about. And this ignited a multi-week correction in stocks. Now, I'm not saying the same thing's gonna happen this time, but values right now on stocks, they leave really a razor edge for imperfection. And so if bottom line global supply chain issues continue, this is a risk for corporate earnings. And so you just have to keep your eye on that, because it's something to pay attention to. Lastly, gold. I get a lot of questions about gold. So commodities started, obviously oil's up pretty nicely. Commodities started the week with a heavy tone. Hawkish money flows were underpinning the dollar. And gold was the worst performer, thanks to the combination of the stronger dollar and rising interest rates. Gold fell as much as 2% during intraday trading. And trading in precious metals has been all about economic data and what it means for Fed policy expectations. So to that point, Gold started to rally towards multi-month highs in the wake of the jobs reports, but really failed to materially break out. And these are the concerns that we have. So, you know, just be careful with that. I know a lot of people have been considering the metal in light of inflation, but I think it's different now. I think we're seeing much more, I'd say, I don't know the word I'm looking for, quicker, immediate type of change. And bottom line, I think the bullish case for gold is characterized by what I would call a fragile balance between a steady but relatively slow economic recovery and, of course, accommodative central bank policies. If we continue to see these banks raising rates, etc., you know, that's a contradiction to gold. Just remember that gold does well when rates are low and when inflation's raging. That's the environment, and we're not really seeing that. So, you know, if you're speculating in that area, which is truly what it is, just, you know, be careful and maybe lighten up on some of that when you see some upside surprises there. Okay, coming up next, we're going to get into our checklist challenge. Now, one of the most important areas in this survey has to do with income. So find out, why is it one of the most complicated things in light of the tax changes that are coming that you need to prepare for right now if you're thinking about retirement? You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast." Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And if you're just joining us, have you taken the retirement checklist challenge to see if you're ready to retire? Well, if you haven't, then that's what we're covering right now. And this all started because Pam, who's 62, has been working for the same company for the last 40 years. And her company was recently bought by a larger Fortune 500 company. And she didn't like her new manager and was thinking about leaving work next month and retiring. And so we had her take the checklist challenge, and I happened to take it too, just to see what I thought about it. And bottom line, it was a lot more difficult than I thought. So the first thing that we want to think about here was, if she were to quit, would her savings, her 401k, the money she had in the bank, equity she has in her real estate, would that sustain her for the rest of her life if she wasn't able to find another job that easily? Because let's face it, I mean, we hear about all these jobs that are out there, but it's still not that easy, is it? And particularly when you're 62 years old and you've been doing what you've been doing for 40 years, it gets you wondering, what else out there is there? And is it really going to fit within my lifestyle and where I am right now? So this is what started the question. We put together this checklist challenge. It's 34 boxes of confidence, I'd say. And the first section, which I talked about before the break, is income. And this is quite interesting. And so I'm going to go through some of these things right now. If you want to take some notes about this, this will improve your focus and what you should be looking at if you're thinking about retiring. And the first one is a written budget for all necessary and your discretionary spending. Do you have one of those? And if you do, well, based on that budget, do you have an estimate of the income, and this is important, that you're going to need each year? Now, why do I say that? Well, I just talked about during the first segment the new tax rates that are coming. And the House Ways and Means Committee on September 13th put out a notice, if you will, that could be effective September 13th. And this is changing income taxes. So when you look at your income sources, you need to categorize these: your Social Security, your pension, your rents from your properties, any income from your portfolio or your 401k, your RMDs. These are all things That will be income. And when you add these numbers up, well, guess what? Under these new tax rules, you're looking at paying more tax, in some cases a lot more tax, on your earnings. And that's going to reduce the amount that you have to spend. And so knowing how taxes are going to impact your income sources is really important. And I'll bet that you don't have that conversation right now with your financial advisor or your attorney or your CPA, because they're all in different places. And so right now, if you're 5 years out from retirement, then I'm encouraging you today to calculate and document in writing on your income plan how those sources of income will be taxed and when it might be most advantageous to take each bucket of money, because they could be treated quite a bit differently depending on your age. Now, your income plan should indicate which accounts you're going to withdraw money from in each year. Now, this could be a prospective look, because certainly markets will be doing different things. And so 5 years from now, it may be a certain sector of the market's doing better than another. And so you want your income plan to be flexible, so as that income's being generated that you're living on and drawing down, it doesn't offset or affect your long-range goal. And this is something where you could have different buckets, if you will, different buckets of investments or real estate that are impervious to certain trends that are starting to occur. And so you can rely and count on that income, even if inflation starts to come on. And I would add that to your list. Include inflation as an adjusted return on your income and your expenses, because right now, as you know, inflation's running hotter than it really has in a long time. And I don't think it's unreasonable to put a rate of, say, 3% on that income plan all the way up through age 95. I had a client who came in yesterday, and she wanted me to run it to 105 for her, and she said her husband was going to live to be 98. So, okay, we can do that. We can dial this into whatever you want. And I find that fascinating when people say, well, I'm going to live to be 108, or I'm going to live to be 83 or 87. I always love having that conversation with them. Well, how do you know? How do you know you're going to live to be that age? Well, I just have a feeling, you know, my mom or my dad or someone lived, so I think it's going to happen. And then I always say to them, well, what if you don't? What if you live longer than that? What are you going to do? And what if you're living longer and you don't really know what's going on? And you have these bills to pay, and, well, I don't want to live like that. Well, what are you going to do if you don't, if you can't make a decision? Who's going to make that decision for you? And can they make that decision for you? Tough questions. Anyway, these are things that that you need to consider. So next, on your income plan, you need to make sure that you optimize your Social Security. Now, I don't know if you saw this. This is brand new. The Social Security Department just created a new 2-page Social Security report. Now, you know, every year I recommend that you check it once a year, and I'm sure in January you did that. But I want you to go check it again, because they just updated it, and now instead of a 4-page document you pull down, it's a 2-page document, and it's laid out a little differently. And so it's important that you look at your benefit to make sure that it's accurate. How do you get that? You go to ssa.gov, ssa.gov, and you get your Social Security statement, which is effective now. So the Social Security updates these things. You can pull down your statement anytime you want and see where you are right now. And so it's important for you to look at all the history of earnings that you've made all these years, make sure they're accurate, double check them. If they're not, let them know, because that's what's the basis for your Social Security. Then you want to figure out, at what age should you take it? And if you're married, how do you take yours and your spouse's in a combination so you get the most possible dollars out of it? This could mean a difference of $300 or $400 extra a month if you do it correctly. So please make sure you optimize your Social Security to maximize the amount you receive after taxes. And the next one would be pensions. If you are so lucky to have a pension, then make sure you shop it around. I was just talking about Pam, and she came in and she had a pension that was going to be paid out from a large Bay Area company. 6 months ago, it was better than what we found on the open market. But today, we beat it. And so again, it's just a matter of interest rates and the market environment and what's going on. And so if you have a pension and they're giving you an offer, you know, I encourage you to call us, let us shop it for you and see if we can beat it. Because in this case, it made Pam several hundred dollars more a month, again, from an insured source that's backed by the claims paying ability of that company. And that's pretty good. So, you know, if that's something that you want to look at, we can help you with that. We're more than happy to do that. Also, make sure you inventory all your household assets and make sure your family knows where you keep those documents. And make sure they have access or know where the passwords and user IDs are for those accounts on your checking, savings, money markets, things like that. In the event something were to happen to you, maybe they're locked up in a safe, maybe on a hard drive somewhere. But in any event, make sure you have all that stuff secure and that your family members know where it is, because something happens to you, let's face it, what are they going to do? And you need to make it easy for them, not difficult for the one who's in charge. Coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say once you leave your company, Cobra will cover you. Is this really true? And where should you get your medical and health care in retirement? So much more important information coming your way. You don't want to miss this segment. You are listening to the Protect Your Assets show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And if you're dreaming of the perfect retired life, maybe you're hoping to retire sooner than later. Well, if you are, then you've tuned into the right place this morning, because today we're talking about the retirement checklist challenge and what you need to do before you retire to increase your chances of success. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that once you leave your company, Cobra will cover your healthcare needs. Is this really true? And where should you get your medical and health care in retirement to save thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars? Well, the answer is kind of surprising, actually. It really depends on your age. And what I mean by that is if you're under 65, then Cobra will probably be your best option, but it might not be, because when you leave your work, and let's say you're 62, earlier we were talking about Pam. Pam had worked for her company for 40 years, done the same thing for 40 years, and her company was purchased by a larger Fortune 500 company. They put a new manager in charge of her position, and she didn't like this person, and she really wanted to leave work. So because she's 62, she had to think about healthcare as part of her retirement. Now, if you're retiring before age 65, then what you need to think about when it comes to your healthcare and your medical coverage is that you're insured. Obviously, because if something came up and you weren't insured, that could devastate everything that you've worked so hard all your life to accumulate. So most companies, when you leave, offer you Cobra. And this is a type of insurance that's usually with your same carrier. But what you need to know about that is that the cost of that could increase substantially from what you've become accustomed to. And so if your spouse is on the insurance policy with you, or maybe your kids are still on the policy with you, you know, when you add all that up, this could cost you a lot more money on a monthly basis, and you're gonna have to figure out how to pay for that. So realize that COBRA does not last forever either. It's typically for about a year, and then it's over, and then you have to figure out what you're gonna do if you, again, are under 65. Now, if you're 65 or older, and you're looking at retiring, then you have what's called Medicare, and you probably know that. Medicare is a great option. You've been paying into it all your working life, and as you know, parts of it are free, parts of it, well, not free because you paid for it, but the parts of it you have to keep paying for, and a lot of those are driven by your income. Now, we've done a show just on Medicare, and so if you have questions about how Medicare works, because it is extremely detailed, you should go back and listen to my podcast at your favorite podcast source. If it's Spotify or any of those you listen to, just type in Protect Your Assets and you can find our podcast. And there is one on Medicare, because Medicare is complicated. It's costly. You have exposure. There's out-of-pocket expenses, depending on what sort of illnesses. If they're, you know, long-term, you may not be covered. So all these sort of things you need to be aware of, and you need to think about as you look at that option if you're over 65, which is Medicare. Another thing you want to consider is that health savings account. Now, I know you've been funding it, the HSA, because we've been talking about it for years. It is one of the best ways to grow your money tax-free. And then if you use it in retirement in an effective way to pay, say, for your premiums or for your deductibles or your healthcare needs, say long-term care type needs later at home, if that's what you want to do, if you want to stay home, then guess what? It's all tax-free. It all comes out tax-free. And if you've done the smart thing, which is to move that money from the HSA bank account and put it into a brokerage account and invest it in a diversified index fund that hopefully has grown all these years, then you could be sitting on a pretty large stack of money that really acts as another insurance policy to help pay for your healthcare needs, which, let's face it, they're not getting cheaper. I mean, one of the most expensive inflated areas, if you look at it, the last 5 years has been healthcare. I was talking a few weeks ago about how the average 65-year-old couple, there was a survey done by Fidelity a few years ago, which said that you would spend around $235,000, $240,000 on just your healthcare stuff over your lifetime. Well, that number was just revised and it was over $600,000. So, you know, this is an area that is getting ridiculous. It's getting expensive. It's getting unaffordable. And what's going to happen? I mean, I'm not going to get in the middle of that one, but you're going to need money. And so if you have a source, a bucket that's tax-free, that has market exposure that can grow over longer periods of time, hopefully, and be available for you if you need it or your spouse needs it, well, that's going to change the game. If you have a decent amount of money and you can then hire someone to come in your house and help take care of you, that'll give you more choices than you would have if you didn't have that bucket of money. So take a look at that HSA account if you have one, and figure out how right now you could maximize that, say over the next 10 or 15 years, if you're about to retire and most likely aren't going to touch it for a long time. How would you place that in a different environment so you could have as much as possible later that would still be tax-free? I was talking earlier about the new tax bill the House Ways and Means Committee just published on Monday. It talks nothing about this. So this is still an area that's ripe for you to take advantage of, to grow money tax-free that you can use later for your healthcare. So think about that. Those are very powerful words right now. Tax-free growth over longer periods of time. The math works, and use that to your advantage. Next, you need to look at your long-term care, your nursing care needs, and how you're going to deal with that. Now, I've developed my own map, if you will. I call it the 5 ways to pay for long-term care. And it's in my book. If you haven't got a copy of my book, it's the Book is called Protect Your Assets. You can find it on Amazon. Protect Your Assets. And in that book, I've got a chapter devoted to this, the five ways to pay for care. They're all pretty detailed. And things like veterans benefits or long-term care insurance, these are things that you need to become educated about. You need to figure out which of these you want when certain things happen to you. You need to put that information into your papers. You should hopefully I say, because I meet people every week who don't have these documents and it absolutely floors me. An advanced healthcare directive. You know, you say you want certain things to happen to you medically, if you're ill or if you have dementia or Alzheimer's that comes on, or you fall and break your hip. Let's face it, all kinds of things can happen. So if you don't have the papers in place and you haven't read them, and made sure that they are what you want, then guess what? You're not prepared. And when these events come up, if you're not able to make a decision will be made for you and it may not be the one you want. So all I can tell you is please make sure that you think about where you would want your long-term care, what you would want that to look like, who would be taking care of you. Now keep it tuned right here, because when I come back, I'm going to share how not considering this last issue could force you to wind up regretting retirement. That answer is coming up next. It pays you to keep it tuned right here to protect your assets. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And isn't that name right now so relevant when the stock market is at all-time highs? We haven't had a 5% pullback in over a year. This is the longest we've seen since 1966. So everybody's wondering, when's it going to happen? So that reminds me, if you haven't got yourself protected yet, if you haven't protected some of your portfolio, your downside, then you definitely want to listen to my market podcast from this morning to hear what I was talking about. You can do that by going to pyaradio.com. Again, that's pyaradio.com, and download my market segment. Today, we are taking the retirement checklist challenge, and no matter how foolproof you think your plan is, last year taught us that anything can really happen at any time. And of course, you see across the country, the virus keeps coming back. So when's it going to end? Anyway, I don't know. But listen, the first thing you can do so you don't regret your retirement, particularly now when markets are so high, is you have to get a risk assessment of your portfolio. Now, in this 34-point checklist challenge I've been talking about this morning, I've got a section on risk management. And so if you're within 5 years of retirement right now, has your financial advisor made changes to the risk level of your investments? And what I mean by that is, do they have a way where they can show you how much your portfolio will drop under different market scenarios? If you haven't seen that, that technology is available. And it just helps you get more comfortable with where you are and what you're trying to do, hopefully because you know the ups and downs of what you're facing and how you're gonna withdraw money out of that portfolio. I was talking about that earlier. So it's important that your advisor understands your risk tolerance, how much down you could tolerate, how you feel about that. And you want to make sure that right now, when markets are still very high, that your portfolio is in line with your retirement objectives. If it's not, I'm encouraging you today, check that out. Find out where you are. And if you don't have the way to do that, well, we do. So we're more than happy to just ask you for a copy of your portfolio. We'll run it through our Riskalyze profile and we'll show you the results. And it's quite eye-opening, I should say, but it will definitely make you feel more confident about where you lie right now with your portfolio. Next, I talked at the top of the hour about the new tax strategies that are coming. There are certainly some changes that are coming. with estate planning. I've been talking a lot about this year. It's $11.8 million right now. If you have stock options, if you have real estate that's now worth millions of dollars, and you're going to be leaving this to your kids, well, they're changing those rules, it looks like, on the estate planning side. They're dropping them from 11.8 down to 5 million. So you potentially could lose over $6 million of assets that you could pass to your heirs absolutely tax-free if you don't do anything about it. It looks like it's coming. So what you need to do now is start to look at your assets and figure out which ones you could transfer and take advantage of that gift that exists right now in the tax code to keep more money in your family for more generations. It's definitely possible, and it's the type of work we're doing right now. So when you get involved with your tax person and your estate planning attorney, we can optimize those tax strategies so you're taking advantage of what's out there and where the rules are right now to make sure that you're keeping more with your family. So make sure that before the year ends, that your financial advisor is coordinating with your CPA to proactively manage the tax harvesting, I'll call it. I don't know if you saw that in the new tax bill that just came out this week, but it looks like this capital gain tax is going to be effective as of September 13th. That's right. So if they pass it, it'll be retroactive to September 13th. And if you're in the process right now of realizing capital gains, you need to get some help with that, because if you do it incorrectly, it's just going to mean you're going to pay more money next year when you get your tax bill. So start to think about that now. Start to take advantage of those opportunities that still exist, but they're going away. We can see that. It's the handwriting is on the wall. And so it's more important now than ever that you take advantage of what exists right now. So if you're not sure what I'm talking about, again, go back and listen to the top of the show where we got into some more detail about some of the specifics around that. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, my fabulous producers back there, Phil and Brett, doing all the hard work they're doing, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I'm David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. And the views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.